Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Warwickshire, a podcast talking about all things Warwickshire and the people who make a difference here.
In this episode of Let's Talk Warwickshire, we'll be hearing from the Warwickshire Resilience Forum. It's an organisation which you may not have heard of, but who play a vital role behind the scenes to help us prepare for emergencies in the county, from floods to fire, public health to power cuts, and lots more in between. It's jointly chaired by Warwickshire Fire and Rescue Services Chief Officer Ben Brook, the Deputy Chief Constable of Warwickshire Police, Alex Franklin-Smith, and its tactical lead, who has overall responsibility, is Liz Hicks. Welcome all.
Hi, Gail.
Let's start with Liz. Just tell us what the forum is and why do we have one?
So the forum exists under legislation, and it's where agencies come together to plan for and respond to major incidents like large scale floods and fires and health diseases, that sort of thing. The agencies in the forum include the emergency services, the councils, the NHS, military, government agencies, utility companies and voluntary sector, just to name a few. Local resilience forums exist all over the country. They are based on police force boundary areas, and they exist to help each of those agencies deliver their legal duties under the legislation, which is called the Civil Contingencies Act. So fundamentally, it's about cooperation and working together, working jointly to identify risk, to prepare plans, to undertake training and exercising together, and to respond to major incidents, and to then debrief and learn from those incidents. So it's that joint working is really, really important.
Well, talking about joint working, we have the Chief Fire Officer here from Warwickshire and also the Deputy Chief Constable. So let me just ask them about being on board. Tell me why you get involved in this.
Under the Civil Contingencies Act, there are different groups of organisations that legally have to be involved in that. But more importantly, we make the biggest difference when our communities need us most, when we can work in partnership together. The LRF brings these range of partners together to be able to provide solutions.
Okay, Ben, thank you very much. And Alex, why are the police on board?
So very much similar to what Ben just said, the statutory obligations, but there's clearly good reason for policing want to work closely with its partners, both the emergency services, local authorities, and the many organisations that will play a key role in the response to emergency incidents that may affect Warwickshire as a county. I think as well, Ben and I are both of a view that there's benefits in having a co-chair arrangement, because clearly we bring our own experiences, both individually but also from our own organisations, and two pairs of eyes and minds has certainly come in quite helpful on a number of occasions.
Who gets the casting vote?
Oh, we're joined at the hip, it's 50-50, but in charge is ultimately Liz.
What are the top risks here?
Okay, so these are in no particular order, okay, but the top risks that we focus on are animal disease, because we have quite a high rural farming community in Warwickshire. Cyber security, so that's making sure our cyber IT networks are safe and secure from any attempts of hacking and that sort of ransomware attacks. Emerging infectious diseases, so this could be any sort of new disease that comes in, that happens and then starts to emerge. Extreme cold and extreme heat as well, so cold and snow, sort of that storms period that we've been having, but also that kind of heat wave that we experienced as well. Flooding. Unfortunately, Warwickshire does suffer from quite a bit of flooding. Industrial accidents and major fires. We do have some large industrial sites in Warwickshire. And so, if there was a fire at one of those sites, that'd be quite a big incident for us to deal with. Malicious attacks. And that's sort of a bit like if there was sort of an attempt of a terrorist attack type scenario, which I'm sure the police could explain more about that type of scenario, but that's something we really need to be very aware and conscious of. Pandemics, so we had influenza a couple of years back with COVID, but there are other types of pandemics that could potentially affect us. And widespread power cuts as well, so that is at a risk, particularly more so in the winter time when there's a greater demand on the use of electricity and power. So they're the top risks that we focus on in Warwickshire.
Ben, what sort of action have you taken in the past as part of this forum?
So what we do as the Warwickshire LRF is we have both strategic meetings and tactical meetings. So me and Alex chair the strategic meetings, and in those meetings what we do is we get a high level understanding of what all the risks are, what plans we're putting in place to reduce those risks or to mitigate them when an event happens. And then we also look at understanding how the future might look. So what are the risks that are likely to happen in the future, and how can we prepare ourselves for those?
And can you give me some examples of projects you have worked on in terms of risk?
The most significant one that's affected the county in recent years is COVID, where I think the LRF was able to demonstrate its absolute value was during that period, where you were having to bring all key partners together. Clearly the primary aim for most partners was to help the health service to ensure it had sufficient resilience, but a primary aim that both Ben and I have as co-chairs is to be external facing. So we're really keen to be able to raise awareness of what the LRF does. And certainly during the COVID period, I think the role and the existence of local resilience forums became far wider understood by members of the public. And as co-chairs, a key part of our role is to make sure that collectively and individually as agencies, we are helping members of the public and communities to understand what they can do in order to best protect themselves. A big part of the reason we were keen to do this podcast, in all honesty, was again to help ourselves on that journey to do everything we can to raise awareness of the Local Resilience Forum and what it stands for and what it does across Warwickshire.
And do you think people really do understand what you do, or do they think, oh, it's just a talking shop?
I know as the co-chair, it's absolutely not a talking shop. You have got a large number of agencies, organisations, also voluntary sector as well, working very closely together. In times of peace, we're meeting on a regular basis in order to make sure that each of our agencies, and collectively as an LRF, we've got comprehensive and robust plans in place to ultimately try and prevent some of the things that Liz spoke about. And a key role that Ben and I have is to help coordinate activity across agencies to ensure that we're not all working in silos and not talking. So sharing of information is a key part of that, and then also making sure that the information that's coming out from the agencies and out from the LRF as a whole is providing reassurance to communities in terms of that response, and helping members of the public understand what the respective services, agencies, emergency services, whatever it may be in terms of that response, are doing, but again how they can best protect themselves, and collectively we can achieve whatever the aim may be in response to that respective issue.
And that's quite interesting, because it does seem that nowadays the push is on people protecting themselves, going somewhere to get advice, but actually helping themselves.
Yeah, definitely. We were having a conversation earlier today, Liz, Ben and I, around quite often the first people that respond to an emergency incident is members of the communities themselves. So whilst they are in that hour or 2 hours of need waiting for emergency services and supporting agencies to respond, quite often they are on their own. So that's why I say, from mine and Ben's perspective, one of our key strategic aims is to do all we can to make sure that communities are prepared, as well as the many organisations that make up the Local Resilience Forum.
And of course you are, as we said, Deputy Chief Constable of Warwickshire Police. How do you find the time to do both jobs?
For all of the agencies involved in the Local Resilience Forum, and that's no different for Ben or myself, we've put ourselves forward to represent our organisations, but I guess the key part is there's a statutory obligation, so somebody needs to do it. We want to make sure from a policing point of view that it's someone sufficiently senior. As an individual working for Warwickshire, I've worked in the county for around about 16, 17 years. I've been in policing for around about 21 years. So during that time, I've had the opportunity to work and respond to and prepare for a whole range of incidents. I think the other big benefit that I bring to the table is the relationship I have with partners that I have invested in and work incredibly hard to maintain. And I think that puts you in good stead when it comes to playing a leadership role together with Ben to help the county and the many key partners that we work with to ensure that we give the absolute best response we can for the communities of Warwickshire.
Yeah, and for me, Gail, this isn't about duplication. This is about actually, as a single fire and rescue service looking after Warwickshire, we have to have these plans in place against all of these risks. So we have to do that work anyway. And then when you bring it to the multi-agency partnership area, you can really expand your knowledge, understanding of actually when we're needed, we can work much better in partnership to achieve it.
If I could add to that, actually, I've been around LRS for over 10, 15 years or so in my time in the emergency planning field. And LRS work on relationships. And that's what the LRF, the real benefit of the LRF is you build relationships with the key partners from a range of other agencies so that when an incident does happen and you're having that multi-agency conversation at 2 a.m. in the morning on a Teams call to help resolve the situation and, you know, set priorities and allocate resources, it makes such a difference when you know the other people that you're talking to.
And who decides when to activate this multi-agency response?
Okay, so when there's an incident, the responders, which is principally the emergency services, will respond to the incident at the scene, and they'll be coordinating and working together to provide the response. But there will come a point when actually that incident is bigger than what they can manage at the scene. They need more resources, they need mutual aid potentially, they need help from other agencies, and therefore we have to coordinate at what's called a tactical level. So any of those agencies can then basically press a button and I won't go into the technical details of how that works, but they press a button and we convene what's called a tactical coordinating group. We bring all the wider LRF partners together with those services on the ground. We meet away from the scene to not sort of get muddled up with the on-scene command arrangements. And we have a meeting that's quite fast-paced. We set the priorities for the response to the situation. We look at the wide issues, we look at resource management, we look at what the challenges are, and we work together to find solutions to those challenges. And then if necessary, if the situation is quite a big deal, if this is actually going to have really serious significance for Warwickshire, we will then escalate to what's called a strategic coordinating group. And then that will be chaired by, you know, your chief fire officer, deputy chief constable, and chief executive levels of councils. So that's a very senior group of people meeting together to plan the wider response and look at those wider issues around how does this incident affect Warwickshire and what do we need to do to address them and work and deal with that situation.
You mentioned 2 o'clock in the morning Teams meeting.
Yes. Emergencies don't honour your schedule, do they? They can happen at any time. So we have had multi-agency meetings in the middle of the night before, because if that's what the situation is, that's what we'll do to respond. So after the response, we start to look at what's called recovery. And it's where we look at what is the impact of this incident has been on Warwickshire, on our people, on the communities, on the businesses, you know, on the various, you know, arrangements in Warwickshire. And what do we need to do to help people recover from this? What do we need to do to help clear up? What do we need to do to help get businesses back on their feet, get people back in their homes, and how to bring a sense of recovery into that community? How do we help people re-establish? How do we people accept what's happened? Perhaps if there have been deaths in that incident, how do we recognise that? And we go through the appropriate investigations, but how do we help the local community deal with that? And that's kind of that mental, emotional community support as well. So we look at all of those factors. We really engage with our community groups, our voluntary agencies in particular, around that kind of humanitarian support. Recovery can take weeks, months, or even years in some cases, but it's something that the LRF partners will commit to. It is very part and parcel of what we do.
And just going back to Alex, when something big happens, of course, and you're dealing with it as part of the forum, how do you manage the other work that you have to do as a police officer?
Well, I would say this, but I do mean this. I work for a brilliant organisation. We've got hundreds of officers and staff who are all working towards, you know, common goals. We're quite used to responding to significant events. We deal with a whole variety of competing and conflicting demands, and it's the nature of policing, really. You honestly never know what's going to happen from one day to the next. So whilst you work incredibly hard to ensure that you are fully prepared and have good plans in place, the reality is that quite often when events happen, it's a case of downing tools. Obviously, we put appropriate measures in place to deal with business as usual, because sadly, crime will continue to happen, and members of the public will continue to call us and will need our help. But it's very much a team effort. And I guess whilst the question is aimed at what does the police do, you've kind of hit the nail on the head in terms of one of the big benefits of working together as a local resilience forum, because this is the mechanism through which a whole host and range of capabilities provided by a whole host of organisations and agencies can come together and significantly amplify the effect. all of the strategic leads that make up the strategic coordination group for the Local Resilience Forum that Ben talked about earlier have a similar view to us in that when they come to the table as part of the LRF, they are joining partners who are collectively seeking to work together and support each other, as opposed to just individual organisations working on their own. But it can be testing, incredibly testing. I mean, we do an awful lot of work around testing and exercising. Whilst there's been lots of plans for flu pandemic, the reality is that when COVID landed, it was pretty new. Only last year, it was a fairly large exercise that we did around the loss of electricity. And for many in the room, I think they felt that actually COVID was one thing, but the loss of electricity and the reliance on communication, such as things like mobile phones, you kind of operate on the basis that all of that is gone and you've got to somehow collectively work together in order to achieve whatever the strategic aims are that have been set by the strategic group within the Local Resilience Forum. So it's a team effort.
And when we talk about resilience, both yourself and Ben obviously leading on when incidents happen, how do you look after your own resilience?
A lot of this is about experience and building up personal resilience over many years, in all honesty. You know, once you've been through numerous responses and exercise and testing, that can only help. But I'd have to probably come back to a point I made earlier in the discussion, which was the benefits of Ben and I both co-chairing the Local Resilience Forum. I mean, we've got a fantastic secretariat team headed up by Liz and a team that supports Liz to do the day-to-day running of the LRF, and genuinely without them and the abilities and skills and experience that those people have got, we would significantly struggle. But Ben and I, we meet regularly, we talk regularly, we are very alive to the reality of the challenges and the stresses and the individual pressures on you as individuals, because sadly when things do go wrong, you know, you have to be prepared for inquiries and people asking, you know, searching questions as to how did Warwickshire respond then at that point in time. And on occasions that can be 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the line where your decision making is being questioned. So I think putting a good team of people around you, having a good social circle and family and friends is really key, probably in all the walks of life that the three of us are used to working in. But without a doubt, Ben is in my hot list of people to call if we have a countywide emergency.
Likewise, very much. It is all about working together and knowing you can pick up the phone to someone who is going to give you some guidance, advice, or just listen.
Liz, much praise for you and your team. What made you go into this?
I want to serve the community and make a difference, and I don't want that to sound like a pat answer. I went to university and I studied disaster management, and I spent quite a few years studying this area, and I didn't enjoy the fact that people go through severe major events, traumatic events, but I felt that there was something in me, that I had a skill set, I had an ability that I could use to make things that little bit better for people, to try and help that response process, to get plans in place, to ensure those plans, those arrangements, those processes are robust and as foolproof, and that we're doing absolutely everything that we can to look after people. So, and just over the years, it's just been reinforced to me, particularly when we've gone through incidents and, you know, we've seen the impact it's had on people around me, both in the community and the responding people that I work with, because it can be very traumatic trying to respond to incidents and help people on the worst day of their lives. But for me, it's about, I feel I can do something to make it a little bit easier.
Where can people find out more information about the forum?
Gail, I'm so glad that you asked that question. I'm so, so excited to tell you about a new development that we have happening in the Warwickshire LRF. And this is completely due to teamwork. We are developing a new website that is going to be launched literally in the next couple of months. And on that website, it's going to explain what the Warwickshire LRF is, what we do, you know, how we're made up of all the different agencies, etc. But more importantly, okay, it explains what the risks are in Warwickshire. So those risks that I talked about earlier, animal disease, flooding, heatwave, etc. There will be some really detailed information on the website about what the risks are in Warwickshire. and it will tell people what they can do to prepare for those risks happening, then what they can do if the risk does happen, if it materialises, what they can do to, you know, in response to look after themselves until agencies can get to them, and then what they can do to sort of recover. There's going to be lots of links there to other agencies and other really useful sources of information. It will also explain what we as LRF partners and responding agencies are doing to prepare and respond to each of those types of risks. And the aim of it is to help people to help themselves. If they have better understanding what they might face and, you know, how it might affect them, then they can plan for it and prepare for it. There's also going to be a really useful page on there about creating an emergency grab bag. So this is if someone has to maybe leave their home, or they're caught in an emergency situation and they need to, you know, maybe if there's a fire and they have to evacuate their home because it's unsafe for a period of time, and you can create an emergency grab bag of all the most important things you need to, you know, look after yourself if you're going to be out of your home for a day or two.
Would you like to give me the website?
Yes, that would be helpful, wouldn't it? The address is www.warwickshireresilienceforum.org.
And just to repeat that, the website, the new website, is going to be www.warwickshireresilienceforum.org. Liz Hicks, thank you very much. Thank you too to Ben Brook, who's the Warwickshire Fire and Rescue Services Chief Fire Officer, and to our Deputy Chief Constable of Warwickshire Police, Alex Franklin-Smith.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.